It's Saturday morning, time for Green Country Gardener. Green Country Gardener brought to you by OK Federal Credit Union, Green Thumb Nursery, United Rentals, Enterprise Sod Store, American Heritage Bank, Osage Region, Peter's True Value, Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, and Overlays Woods Lumber. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, call 918-336-1400 or 800-749-5936. And now, man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass. And thanks to your brother for always providing our theme music. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Charlie. Yeah, thanks to Robert. Did a good job with that one.
He did. We've got a longer version of that song. We needed to sit back and play that one sometime.
Well, how about sometime in January?
We could probably do that.
Oh, golly. Yeah. Man, there's a lot going on right now.
I'm so glad you tell me that. That's wonderful.
Jeez.
Yeah, photosynthesis continues slowly.
Yeah, it does. I guess the evergreens are photosynthesizing rather slowly with the temperature at, 18
I have
degrees?
I have 18.
Imagine there's not much of that going on right now.
No, probably not.
Maybe the mistletoe.
It could be.
Yeah, so anyway.
Other than that, the needs of the plant life continue. Again, they're vastly slowed down due to the temperatures, but they still need some water.
I think the only thing we really need to be concerned about with our plants right now is the lack of water.
Yeah.
And that's difficult because it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to go out and water a dormant plant. However, if you have an evergreen plant, such as a boxwood,
mm-hmm.
I see a lot of them in town that they normally kind of turn a little bit brown in the wintertime, but this shade of brown is different. And the boxwoods are showing a lot of water stress right now.
Oh, okay.
So I believe tomorrow it's going to be like 49 or something. 40,
well, we're going to get a 49, but it's not going to be tomorrow. Sorry to disappoint you. Tomorrow we're still looking at, I guess 43. That's not too far away from your 49, yeah.
It'd probably be a good idea to give them some water because you're going to see some damage this spring from this dry and cold spell we're having.
Yes.
It's going to show up.
Okay.
And it's going to show up in the photinias. It's going to show up in the boxwoods. The ewes, nah.
they care, but not that much.
They're hardy plum up north.
And,
I think we are going to see some damage.
And I think you've talked about just in the past, water close to the house as well, because of the whatever is planted next to the foundation, mm-hmm. still under the overhang, doesn't typically get as much water.
Right. Well, yeah. And, use some judgment and take a shovel out there and dig a little hole and check out the condition of the water in the ground. And it is very important mm-hmm. around your house to keep that moisture level fairly constant because our soil here has a great deal of clay in it. And we get some seasonal shrinking and swelling and mm-hmm. shrinking and swelling. If you were to get a camera and set it out on a tripod and point it at a small section of the house and it will not move, you will probably see this up and down movement on a time lapse, pretty much. And it does happen.
Okay.
So, or you can get some kind of a laser thing to measure it, I guess.
I guess you could.
and there will be some changes in the elevation. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that happens over the whole house at once. The builder was good enough to put a good compacted base in around the house. So mm-hmm. you don't have this differential shifting of the soil below the house. Or if they went down to solid bedrock. I know that's the case in my house because...
you found it.
There you go, laughing at my house again.
No, I...
and it is just a solid, solid rock. I mean, so keeping the moisture level constant is really good. So you want to try to look at that and see. It'll save you a ton of money on foundation repairs and masonry fixes and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I see this in a lot of people's houses with... The little jagged cracks in the bricks.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, oh, that'll go away in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Sometimes, yeah. So I get this inside the house a little bit, too. And I think that's just the Douglas fir shrinking and swelling from the change in humidity.
Okay.
There's one little corner where it might fluctuate a 32nd of an inch, just a little bit.
It's enough to make the doors either really tight or not so much.
Well, the doors all work fine. This is where the shower tile and meets the wall, and there's a little bit of shift there. And you look up, there's a gap now. There's no gap in it right now in the wintertime, but in the summertime when it warms up, the humidity goes up, There's just a little tiny little gap up there.
Yeah.
So
very interesting.
But yeah. I don't think. And then when it's really cold like this, and it starts to warm up, we have this real long section in the bedroom, from one end to the other, and the sheetrock pops.
I think we've heard that a time or two, maybe.
And the dog barks, and the cats run, and it's crazy.
The house is haunted.
The house is haunted, yeah. So shifting in the house and changing and creaking and popping isn't always a ground shift, in other words, what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Is the ground shifts typically are expressed outside the house, on the facade of the house, and the foundation, and so on. So and keeping your moisture levels constant, and one good way is to just keep a layer of mulch. Mm-hmm. Now I say some exterminators don't like mulch around the house. Well, I use grass clippings up close to the house because termites don't live in dead grass.
No, they don't.
No, and that works rather well as a mulch within that area. So I just take the, instead of throwing out the clippings from the mower, I and put them up close to the house. It's behind the shrubs. It doesn't get any light, mm-hmm. and it acts as a very good moisture control, and it recycles the materials. And golly, in a few years you turn over that soil, it's really good stuff.
Well, sure.
So
got some high carbon stuff there.
Yeah, that's one of the practices I follow at the house to help keep that that area moisture pretty constant. So anyway, so that's kind of what to do with our water situation. A lot of the smaller shrubs, the dwarf yaupon hollies, we're going to see some sporadic dieback in that. It'll beautiful green plants all the way across, then it'll be a dead spot.
Okay.
That's what happens when we have a dry period like this with dwarf yaupon hollies. It's just weird. It's the way it does. I've had this happen to me. You just cut it out, and you're back in business. In just a few months, it'll grow back and fill in. So fertilize them in the spring.
Okay.
Not now.
Not now.
But in the spring, they'll grow real well. And use something that gives a little bit of acid to the soil. I like just to use a generic fertilizer and then add some iron sulfate to it.
Okay.
Makes a really rich, a deep green color, and the leaves get a little larger too, so it makes it more attractive. So do that, and also with the boxwoods, milorganite works very well too. Now, one plant that really likes milorganite are the nandinas.
Oh, sure. Yeah. They like it.
And that's another plant that's going to suffer from this dryness and a cold, the combination of the two. And they're going to look a little scruffy in the spring, but they'll snap out of it. And first of May, they'll be middle of May, they'll be in good shape anyway. Yeah,
really happy.
Yeah, when it rains in May, according to the weather charts last year, we had 15 inches of rain.
Yes,
you saw that chart about last
you
week.
Brought that in last week, and I've got it
send
filed
you
away
a link to that thing. Golly, anyway, you can find it on the weather service. But anyway, and it that was a ton of rain we had, mm-hmm. and we had a really good recovery after that because we had plenty of rain. And the plants really did very well. The trees grew a lot this year. You'll see some big rings on the trees this year. So there is a chance, a very good chance, that if your stuff did get set back from the cold we're having, it'll come back rather quickly. So
okay,
don't push the panic button yet.
And, of course, this is the time of year typically when we get among our least amount of moisture. So whatever tenths of an inch or so we can get here and there now and then is a good thing.
Yeah, this is normal. Your Bermuda grass will be fine. Your Johnson grass will be fine. And your established trees, they're in good shape. Yeah. No problem with them.
Established shrubs, I assume, would be the same thing as far as...
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Then, of course, you're saying hang on any trimming till at least around Valentine's Day right now?
Exactly. Well, actually, you could do it right now. The main reason for doing that is appearance.
Oh, okay.
You really don't want to do a heavy pruning in the fall because we have warm spells, mm-hmm. believe it or not.
Yes.
During the winter.
Couldn't tell by today, but...
Earlier on in the winter, when the days are still kind of long, it might spur on some growth. I see this with some people's boxwoods they did. They did a pruning on them in the fall. Mm-hmm. And then we had a warm spell, and they grew a little bit. Then it got really cold, and now you have all these bleached out... yellow leaves on the tips of your boxwoods because they did a growth spurt because mm-hmm. they weren't ready to quit yet. They're hardy pretty far north, and because of that they thought, well, it's not winter, let's grow, huh? And then it got really cold and all that tender growth was cut back. Mm-hmm. So I think they're dormant enough now where you can do a heavy cut back on your boxwoods, but you're just going to suffer some appearance issues between now and say the middle of May, first of June, for them to recover from that cutting.
Okay.
So to just leave them like they are. I'll do it right now.
Sounds like a plan.
However, it is a good time to cut back the trees. We talked about this last week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very important to look at the structure of your tree and look for problems,
okay,
broken branches and so on, and do some pruning on those.
And so I imagine the arborists are all pretty busy this time of year.
I do see a lot of trucks running around, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have to do a heavy cutback, there's some trees that are outgrown. I see a lot of trees hanging over houses.
Yeah.
Big old branch, you know. Then you look at where it joins up to the tree. It's a really bad juncture. And I imagine if you call a tree surgeon, you can probably get one in by spring. They're very busy.
Mm-hmm.
And that needs to be trimmed back because it can be a problem with the house. Just if we have an ice storm, for instance. We got a little precipitation coming, tomorrow or something?
Well, actually, it's only a 20% chance, but we could get a little bit of snow overnight, first thing in the morning. But, yeah, there's a chance for precip, late in the week.
If I remember the flood of 86, right, we did have a 20% chance of rain before that happened. No, really.
No, I believe you.
They were talking about it. And you go, whoa, yeah. So you really just... You can computer model all you want, and you're right most of the time, but it can come in error too.
Well, it's like they used to say on the commercials, it's not nice to fool Mother Nature.
Yeah. Exactly. So check out the trees. Look at the branches on the tree and see how close they are to the house. And it's just not a good idea to plant an elm or a maple or something real close to the house,
mm-hmm.
even a river birch. I see so many of them put real close to the house, and the root system on those is just absolutely notorious. You can't grow anything around them,
mm-hmm.
and they're weak-wooded. They just break apart all the time, and they plug up your gutters with little twigs and leaves and stuff. They're just something you don't want to put close to a house.
And really, they
like this because of the architectural appearance of the trunking. It's mm-hmm. very attractive. Very,
sure. It's a good-looking tree as you drive
by.
It's a very
nice-looking tree, but they turn into... big dinosaur monsters, and it can be a problem. So don't plant that there. There's some other plants you can use that have a similar structure to that that'll work just fine.
Okay. 800-749-5936, the telephone number that gets you on Green Country Gardener, and we'll take your calls this morning coming up in just a bit.
Talking with Brent at United Rentals, you've got yard fencing augers, you've got lawn aerators, sod cutters, seriously? You've got that kind of stuff there?
Yep, sure do. Use a sod cutter if you need to move some sod from your backyard and move it. We've got the lawn aerator, help your lawn out, and a lot of people are putting in their own fence, and you need the auger to drill your post holes, and in this country there's a lot of rocks, so you need the jackhammer to get through the rock to get your post set. 3801 Southeast Nowata Road, 918-333-9580.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has a great selection of plants for inside and outside the home. Fill your home with vibrant houseplants, cactus, hanging plants, and more. Come by Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on the Water Road and check out Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, winter hours, Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 4.
When you need the help of a good mechanic, ABS Performance is where you need to go. They can do everything from a simple oil change to a full-blown transmission and engine replacement. No job is too big or small, and having the right mechanic for general and complete automotive care is important. They'll keep your vehicle up to date on oil changes and routine maintenance. Seek the help of a good mechanic. Head to ABS Performance on Price Road next to the Washington Park Mall in Bartlesville. Phone number 918-33.
These days, it's easy to have information overload. Sometimes I just want to kick back, hear my favorite music and the news that affects me. That's why I stay tuned into my local radio station. When important news happens in my part of town, I hear it from them first. For the best entertainment, sports, news, weather, and traffic, anytime, anywhere, I stay local. Support your local stations. Text RADIO to 52886. Furnished by the NAB and this station. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out.
800-749-5936, a telephone number to get you on the air on Green Country Gardener on your Saturday morning. Larry Glass over to get the microphone. And again, it is a chilly morning, headed for some, at least forecasted sunshine later on. We'll see if that develops.
Right. If you want some snow, move south. Move to Tallahassee.
or you know, anywhere
Charleston.
In Charleston. Yeah, or Atlanta, for that matter.
Atlanta, where my daughter was in Charleston. They had a whole pile of snow.
Well, to get something different for them, they
talk about a shutdown. The
there you go.
Town
yeah.
Just is absolutely shut down. It's crazy down there. They don't know how to deal in that snow.
No, they don't. It's not something that they have to deal with on any kind of even occasional basis.
Anyway, in the garden right now, like I said, just look for damage and so on, and you might consider looking at your fences and your gates. Mm-hmm. Every house I go has a problem with the gate.
Yeah.
On the wooden fence, they don't. None of them work.
It's just something about the wooden fence structure, or is it, I don't know.
What I mentioned earlier with the changes in the moisture and all that. And they use a treated pine post.
Sure.
And they bend a little bit. So you might consider having that, get your saw out and fixing it, or doing adjusting the hinges or something.
Okay.
That is a pain in the neck. You have to do this little combination. You got to turn your tongue this way and turn 1 foot that way, mm-hmm. and lift and pull. And it's crazy.
Yeah.
And
it could be a new gate. I mean, they could have theoretically just built it, but because the temperature shifted, everything else is...
Yeah, and the wood is a problem. And when I built mine, I took the... I don't know if this works for everybody, but it worked great for me. I took the posts and set them on the ground, soaked them down with the garden hose, and then waited about a week and weighted it down with all kinds of rocks and stones, and not a single post has warped. It worked real well.
Okay.
So I guess it got all that out of the wood, and it was weighted down so much that
it couldn't warp the way it wanted.
It couldn't warp the way it wanted to, so it's okay, fine, you're okay. Anyway, that it worked really well, and the gate doesn't stick. So, of course, I use a 6x6. You always want to use a 6x6 post when you put in a gate.
Makes sense. So you want that solid?
Yeah, a little more solid.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's just kind of a deal with that. And other things you can do, the mower. If it was chugging along, working kind of bad, you might consider at least finding an air filter for it.
Oh, well,
you tried that before. You go to the local big box store. There's like 1,000 different air filters. And you go, oh, which one? You know, so you might take it out and bring it in and get that done. That's the best tune-up you can do on most lawnmowers. Is just change the air filter on.
Sure.
It.
Yeah.
So you might consider doing that. Change the oil in it too.
Get a little dust, a little bit of miniature grass clippings in there, and it can't breathe.
Exactly. So that would help it run real well next spring. So just your shovels, sharpen them up, get them ready for that for spring too. And not much to do in the vegetable garden.
No.
Really. So
do a little bit of planning and analyzing what worked for you last year.
That's true. You can check out what was the success, and then draw on your successes. Last year was kind of a strange year for a lot of annuals because we had some extremes of weather. If you look on that chart I gave you, it was a big increase in the rain, then a real long spot.
A long plateau.
Then a little bit, then a long plateau. It wasn't really constant.
No.
So you want to try to keep your moisture level fairly constant. And some of these new annuals coming out, especially the Sun Patience, beautiful plant.
Mm-hmm.
Just a picture-perfect annual plant. They don't like the drought.
No. It has that the characteristics of an impatience plant, and being that indicator, and says, "Hey, feed me, water me."
Yeah, I put some on the west side of the house. It did great until it got hot, and the leaves were just hanging like wet laundry, just swaying in the breeze. You know, I come home from work. Oh my gosh, got the hose out there.
I don't think I've seen anybody hang laundry out for a long time.
Well, when the dryer quits, you figure it out real quick. But anyway, and they came back just fine. You know, by the morning they were all blown up with water and doing just fine. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be talking a little bit later on with xerographic plantings, perhaps. I know we've discussed this way in the past.
Yes, we have.
But there's some new stuff coming out that makes this a little bit more enticing, if you will, as far as a annual configuration is concerned. There are a lot of them out there that are really more xerographic types, such as the lantanas and a lot of the salvias and things. There's some new stuff coming out that makes a very good show of annual flowers without having just to water them every time you turn around. So there's this new giant begonia that I personally have found it rather drought tolerant as well.
Okay.
It's just basically a giant or a begonia that's just blown up this big thing. It's just scaled up.
Okay.
And they're pretty cool plants. And I find they can tolerate the dryness better than the regular begonias. And good tall backdrop plants. So I wouldn't discount the regular begonias. They do just fine when they get established.
Right.
But they don't like the dry real well. And they don't tolerate the extreme heat very well either. So it's something that you want to mulch real heavily. And really putting some peat moss in the ground and or some a lot of compost in the ground can help the soil store some more water. So you can save it. I know the water bills are crazy right now.
That's something we haven't talked about for a while, but you have helped people plan their garden so that basically whether we get a lot of water or a little bit of water, everything works well.
Exactly. We were able to do a landscape job this last week and the week before. And we did a differential soil preparation based on the parent material of the ground and all. There's a lot of sandstone and very quick to dry kind of soil, and we added actually a lot of peat moss to it.
Okay.
And compost, and those work together to and some compost and the mulch on the top. Those work very well together to preserve moisture. Mm-hmm. It turns the water into a storage battery of moisture, if you will, the lithium ion of soils or whatever, and it works quite well to flatten out that curve as far as dryness and wetness is concerned, a flywheel effect on the dryness of the soil. So you might. When you do your annual flowers next year, or actually if you can even break the ground in the wintertime, you might consider doing ground prep. And it might seem kind of silly, but
no.
But it'll help a whole lot.
Just letting the freeze and thaw of what the weather does this time of year help break up the soil for you.
Mm-hmm. And typically when we do a landscape installation, it 99% of the time is getting it ready.
Mm-hmm.
Laying out the beds, stripping out the grass, or rounding up the grass to kill it, but getting rid of the grass on there now, and then turning over the soil, and assessing the condition of the soil, and putting in a ratio of material. Sometimes adding sand to the soil. If you rub the soil between your fingers when it's moist, and you don't get any grittiness to it, you want to add some coarse sand to the soil. I say the word coarse. Don't use mason sand. You want to use a coarse sand. We have at the nursery a big old pile of coarse sand. And we do add a lot of that to the preparation. It helps water percolation by adding some grit to the soil.
Mm-hmm. Well, what is it? Four basic things that go into what we call soil, right?
Yeah. Silt,
sand,
loam, sand, and clay. Those four things in the right portions make a really good soil. So if you don't feel that grittiness in your soil, then you might want to add something to that. It gives your soil true grit, if you will.
You could even be a Duke.
Yes, so. And a lot of the imported soil we get, the river bottom dirt, is lacking in coarser material like that.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, it tends to hard pan on the surface. If you take some river bottom dirt and just lay it on the ground and let it rain on a couple of times, it'll turn into this concrete-like surface. And that's because it just has a whole lot of very fine particles. Some very, very fine sand, grant you, it will have that in there.
Right.
But it has a lot of silt and some clay and a little bit of loam in it, too. And it does hard pan real bad. So you counteract that by creating a good balance of soil. One way to do this is to take a sample of soil, put it in a big old quart mason jar, a big old gallon pickle jar or something, and add some water to it to the point where you can shake it up about 3/4 and shake it up real good and just let it sit. And, until you have a homogenized mix in your of soil in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then just let it settle and the sand will fall to the bottom and then the clay and then the silt and then the loam. And you can see the layers in your soil. And you can come up with an analysis of your how much good stuff you have in your soil and this big old thick layer of clay you have in the middle.
That's probably not the most desirable mix, though, right?
It isn't really. So so do that. Do a soil structure analysis by doing that, taking a sample. Not necessarily from the surface, but you might want to go down a few inches, 3 or 4 inches deep,
because
that's where the root zone is. And just see what your soil's made up. Be a good science fair project, too, kids.
Okay.
But anyway, and that'll give you an analysis of physically what's involved in the soil. It won't do a chemical analysis. You can do that yourself. We have a litmus test that'll give you those numbers pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
Not as close as extension agent can do it, but pretty darn close.
And we've talked about that in the past, that the University Extension Services do that soil analysis for you. I don't know, it's a nominal fee, whatever it is, that you take sample in, and they will give it back with a very detailed analysis of mm-hmm. what's in or what's not in your soil.
Right, and you might tell them what you're using the soil for, using it for grass or using it for vegetables or whatnot, then they can tell you what you need to do with that particular soil. And don't take it from one place, take it from in the same area, three or four different locations, and mix it together. And don't touch it, because oils in your skin and whatnot can cause a variation in it.
Okay.
So you want to be sure not to touch it and put it in a clean bag, and use a spade or a screwdriver or something that's clean, and take it from about 4 inches deep.
Huh, you didn't want to use that same screwdriver to stir the paint can first?
No, you the same one you use to adjust the points in your distributor.
Oh, wait.
Remember those days?
Yes.
But anyway, you don't want to use the same one.
800-749-5936. Your calls this morning, we encourage them on Green Country Gardener. We will continue in just a moment.
When it comes to banking, it can be hard to find a place where you feel like more than just a number. At American Heritage Bank, we combine over 110 years of experience with the highest quality of customer service to give you an unparalleled banking experience. Stop by one of our convenient locations or visit us at ahb-ok.com to experience the difference. American Heritage Bank, member FDIC.
Enterprise Sod Store has everything you need to make your lawn and garden spectacular. They have mulch, topsoil, even gravel for driveways, all sold in bulk quantities and at bulk pricing, saving you money. All materials Enterprise sells can be delivered, saving you time. Start your lawn and landscaping projects today. Call the sod experts, Enterprise Sod Store, at 918-333-6888 or stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
Let Peters True Value in Dewey help you create a warm and comfortable outdoor space without electricity. Like a 30,000 BTULP tank top heater, it's available now for the great low price of $49.99. It features two convenient swivel heads, which promote maximum heat in multiple directions. This powerful heater operates for up to 24 hours attached to a standard 20-pound propane cylinder. Pick up this bargain of the month, along with other winter warmers, while supplies last. Peters True Value in Dewey. Behind every project is a true value.
I'm Reba McEntire. Growing up in Oklahoma, I had big dreams of becoming a successful country music singer. But I also knew the odds were against me and that I needed an education to fall back on. Studying never got in the way of my dreams. In fact, school gave me lots of opportunities I wouldn't have had otherwise with my career. Please stay in school and try your best. You never know where a good education might take you. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
Go 800-749-5936, the telephone number that gets you on Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. Larry Glass in from Green Thumb Nursery in Bartlesville to answer your questions along the garden line and maybe help you plan for the 2018 garden, whether it's your vegetable garden, your flower garden, or maybe even just getting a greener, brighter, easier to manage lawn.
Mm-hmm. Another thing people really like are flowering trees.
Well, yeah, if you get the best of both worlds there.
There's
a lot of them out there. From the tree and something other than green.
Uh-huh. There's a lot of them out there. And one of them I want to mention today is a Kwanzaa cherry.
Kwanzaa, sounds
Japanese. K-W-A-N-Z-A, Kwanzaa cherry,
yeah.
It's a kind of a double version of a Yoshino. You know, Yoshino cherries are the ones that are planted in Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
around the reflecting pool. Beautiful in the spring.
Yes.
And Kwanzaa cherry is one that happens to do pretty well here.
Okay.
It grows about 30 feet high and wide, so it's not a big tree. 30 feet is not that big in the landscape.
No, it really isn't.
But I really haven't seen any of them in town any taller than, say, 20 feet. So we say 30 feet, that's what it's rated at, but you got environmental constraints that'll keep it from getting that big. No fruit.
Well, gee whiz.
Yeah, well, what good is it then? It's somewhat tough, though, and drought tolerant. It prefers a well-drained soil and a sunny spot for the best growth characteristics. In other words, maybe not something a bit close to the house. You might want to go a little further away from the house. Get it 10 to 15 feet away from the house at the closest.
Sure.
It'll grow up. It'll look like it's really close to the house when it grows up. It might seem distant at this point in time. But when you consider how big it's going to get big, and you don't want it too close to the house. So 10 to 15 feet away from the house. It's loaded with clear pink double blooms early to mid-spring.
Okay.
It's kind of a late bloomer after your azaleas, maybe.
Yeah. But you still get that nice cherry tree look from the blossoms then.
It's a good small shade tree, and it doesn't really produce a lot of trash except after the blooms. When they die off, they just kind of fall to the ground, and you get the leaf blower out and blow them away. Or this raging torrents of rain we have in the spring will wash them away.
Take them all down to the street for you.
It's a moderate growth or moderate to rapid growth, and its pests include borers, yuck, and leaf-eating caterpillars, double yuck. So if you can manage the borer issues and the leaf eaters, you'll be fine.
So the birds will like it for the caterpillars then, huh?
Possibly, yes.
Well, the birds don't get to eat the fruit. So.
The leaves are about 2 inches long and 1 inch wide, and they have a serrated edge on them. Fall color is yellow to red, depending on the weather. This year, they were kind of red. And so it should be considered in the landscape for its dramatic flower show and ease of growth. I did mention it likes good drainage. So if you live in an area that's shaded and it drains poorly, then you might consider another variety of plant that might work really well. And if you're not much of a gardener and you really want something with pretty flowers, this might not be the one you want to pick because of its susceptibility to borers. Now you say, oh, borers, oh my gosh, but really a healthy tree does a better job of controlling borers than one that is not healthy and you keep dosing it with stuff. So you follow the growth characteristics, the good drainage, the sunshine, you know, moderate to good soil, and it should be healthy enough to fight them off.
Okay.
As soon as we have a situation where they're under stress, say for instance a drought period or something, that increases the plant's susceptibility to borers.
Hey, borers, go over here.
Yeah, here we go. I'm a tree under stress. I'm producing all kinds of sugar, so come get it. You might want to, if you want one of these, you might want to consider upgrading your knowledge of maintenance on plants. Fertilize it like you should in the spring and the fall and prune out any dead stuff. And, you know, just be a little bit of a gardener with the tree rather than something that's just on its own. Because it's not indigenous to the area.
And adapting
to our rather harsh climate extremes can be difficult for a certain plant. But this one, golly, if everything's just right, it can be a good one. So substitute for this plant.
Yes.
The flowering peach.
Oh, okay.
Is another one. But it shares the same problems as the Kwanzaa cherries because it is a member of the Prunus family. And it can cause problems too with borers and everything else. There are other, you know, like there's a double flowering Rose of Sharon, which is as tough as the day is long. It blooms for a long, long period of time in the summer. So that might be a consideration. They can be pruned into arborescent form. We did a job for somebody, and there was just the biggest Rose of Sharon I've ever seen. And we did the design of the patio and the landscape around this plant, and it just blooms for a long period of time in the summer.
Wow.
So it's a good plant to have. The Rose of Sharon might be a good substitute, but the time differential is there. Dogwood would be another choice. They seem to be a little less susceptible to borers than the Kwanzaa cherry, but... they bloom for in kind of the same period. They have pretty flowers on. They last a long time on
the
dogwood. The flowering crabapple tree is another parallel. They seem to have more resistance to borers and more tolerance as far as growing conditions are concerned. But you got the fruit.
Yeah. Which, if you don't mind, being out there picking up after the tree for several weeks, well, I guess it wouldn't be all bad.
But. Right. So if you consider all these parallel plants and all the drawbacks to those, and then you consider the Kwanzaa cherry, the only drawback it has is the susceptibility to borers, to pests and everything. And if you can get that under control, then you've got a pretty good specimen tree. So that one you might want to consider when choosing out a flowering plant.
Okay.
10 feet away from the house.
10 feet. Is it the Kwansan typically available in the area, or is that a special order?
Usually you can get it in various sizes. Get up small size, big size, and so on. And they do pretty well. A variation of that might be a weeping cherry. And this is one plant I particularly do not like.
Oh, okay.
Because, they're beautiful. They're real dramatic. And the pictures you see in the catalog, this thing just covered in flowers. You know, come on, people. This is Oklahoma. And that's a grafted plant. They actually take a root stock. Mm-hmm. Then they graft the stem stock. Then they graft a reverse graft. Then they root a top. Then they root or graft the top stock to it, and it makes it, instead of growing up, it makes it grow down. This weeping habit. Mm-hmm. Kind of cool how that grafting stuff works.
Yeah,
very difficult to grow, and they're kind of expensive. But survival rate on these, because of the boar situation we have, is very low. Because I think they're just inherently under stress.
Well, if I had that many grafts, I think I might be under stress too.
Yeah, and sometimes you get graft incompatibility. You get this big wide thing, a little narrow thing, and it after a while it just kind of ruptures, and then mm-hmm. it just kind of falls off. So anyway, it's a pretty tree, but you have to have a little care.
Don't believe the photographer.
Exactly. So let's go away from that one. Shrub of the week is a flowering quince.
Okay. We talked about that one before.
It's a good plant.
Yeah.
Nothing bothers it.
It's kind of the Cocker Spaniel.
It is. It's a companion to the Forsythia. It blooms at the same time as Forsythia. It's a moderate grower, and it has a flower show of white to pink to red flowers. There's a Japanese one that's apple blossom. Just a beautiful thing when it blooms. It's absolutely gorgeous. Mm-hmm. It blooms on old wood, so don't prune it in the fall and spring. Don't prune it now. You'll lose all your flowers. Most of the time, though, it blooms after the foliage emerges.
Okay.
So they kind of...
You thought you missed the blooms, and then there they are.
Oh, did it bloom? Anyway, so it can cause a little bit of an appearance issue. I don't have that. Haven't seen that much of a problem with the Japanese variety. It tends to bloom a little bit more consistently before the foliage and the others. So... it's a good plant. It's a good, tough plant. It's got some thorns on it. Hmm. And you can prune it. You can shape it up and prune it any way you want. And it does really quite well. So it's very adaptable. And give it lots of room to grow. It will form a bramble if you just let it go. It'll grow and it'll arch out. It'll root and it'll arch out and form a real heavy bramble.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Forsythia does.
Yeah.
And that can be, it can actually be kind of a pest. But flowering quince, I like to use it. It's just a very small specimen plant. The Raphiolepis might be a companion or a parallel to that, but doesn't have all the problems as far as growth is concerned and thorns as a flowering quince.
Does it tend to exploit the available geography? Do you have to keep it trimmed back?
Or it's not that bad.
Okay.
You can control it pretty easily. You just have to, the arching branches have to keep them clipped, kind of like Forsythia. You can do anything with a Forsythia. You can trim it up and make it a weeping plant, which is, if you want a weeping plant, that would be real dramatic. A weeping because naturally they have a weeping habit. And mm-hmm. you cultivate them and grow them to have a strong central trunk. And then you kind of crop that a little bit. And I had that at a house. We lived here in town. We rented a house, and there was a Forsythia. And while we were there, I trained it into this shape. Mm-hmm. And when it bloomed, it was like this waterfall of yellow blooms. It was really quite nice.
Great.
Sounds like gone now, but...
But you can have one at your house.
Yeah, but it takes time.
Yeah,
it only took a few years.
Good. 800-749-5936. We'll take this break and continue with Green Country Gardener in just a moment.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has a great selection of plants for inside and outside the home. Fill your home with vibrant houseplants, cactus, hanging plants, and more. Come by Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on the Water Road and check out Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, winter hours, Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 4.
I really didn't feel safe anymore at home.
Every year, tens of thousands of youth experience homelessness.
The possibility of sleeping out on a park bench, it's not something that a 15-year-old should have to think about.
1-800-RUNAWAY provides 24-hour access to a nationwide network of housing and support services.
I felt such warmth. I felt comfort. I felt safe.
Call 1-800-RUNAWAY. Go to 1-800-RUNAWAY.org or text 66008. we can end youth homelessness.
Hey, at our startup, my team and I move at the speed of tech 24/7. And every single day, it's information overload. It's coming at me from all directions. And you know what? Bottom line, I just need the news that matters. So where do I turn? Local radio and TV. I want to hear from people who live and work in my town. They give me the real story with information I know I can rely on. So where else can I find out what's happening in my community? Weather and traffic, things that affect my family and my business. I want to stay informed by sources I trust. My local radio and TV stations. For the best entertainment, sports, news, traffic, and weather with no agenda and more reliable than other platforms. So if you ask me for the information I want anytime, anywhere, I stay local. Support your local station. Text radio to 52886 today. Furnished by the NAB and this station. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out.
The telephone number to get you on the air on Green Country Gardener. Larry Glass in to take your phone calls this morning, as we do it every Saturday morning right here on the radio. And we still have about 11 minutes yet to go. Larry, we were talking about that flowering.
Forsythia.
Forsythia,
making it a weeping form. Well, it was a very simple thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that's not weeping down, you leave. It's going straight up or going up. Anything above horizontal, you cut off. And eventually, about through the process of elimination, it made a real fairly dense mop.
Cool.
It's kind of interesting. The only shortcoming of the Forsythia is its lifespan. They just don't last that long.
Oh, okay.
They get a stem anthracnose over time, and it's not much you can do about it.
Yeah.
So you just have to start over again.
Well, you've always got something to do in the garden that way.
Exactly. So there are a lot of spring flowering shrubs you can do like that. Houseplants, what to do right now? Winter's kind of a slow time for houseplants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the humidity in the house is relatively low.
Yeah. Well, right now the furnace is running fairly well.
It is.
Yeah.
And you know, make sure to change the furnace filters out.
Okay.
I did mine last week and it made a big difference. So if you haven't changed out your furnace filters, do it. Save yourself a ton of money and gas.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want your furnace to overheat and pop off now and then and get you cold in the house. But
right.
So anyway, you might want to consider checking that out. See it. Oh my God, I forgot. Then you open it up, there's this thing you can't even see through.
used to be a filter.
Yeah. So anyway, as far as houseplants are concerned, keep them watered real well. I just pour ice on my houseplant.
Yeah.
We have a cat, so we only have like one houseplant. So it eats everything else up.
But the ice melts slowly.
I have a greenhouse full of them at the nursery. So don't
introduce it to the cat of the Chamber of Commerce. I mean, there's a cat at the chamber too.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Cool. I didn't know that. Anyway, don't this time of year, the sun is relatively low, and looking at it right now, it just doesn't shine that much in the winter. So the length of day is shorter, so there's not much energy available for the plant to photosynthesize and produce new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you really don't want to try to encourage a whole lot of growth unless you want to have artificial light on it to help it out.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of a sleepy time for houseplants right now. And the days are getting a little bit longer every day. What, a couple of minutes or so? A
couple of minutes, typically 2 minutes. Yeah.
2 minutes a day or so. Pretty soon we get to the point where they will be able to grow. And you start to see some new growth on your houseplants because mm-hmm. they're having the energy available to grow. At that point, you can encourage them to grow a little bit more if you want to. Cutting them back is a good time when that starts to happen. Around St. Patrick's Day or the spring equinox would be a good time to cut them back maybe.
Okay.
And then they should grow and take off, but don't encourage it right now. And watch that humidity now because it can really dry them out.
Yes.
And, you just water them sparingly and fertilize them lightly. Osmocote's a good one to use on houseplants. It doesn't forget to fertilize.
Mm-hmm.
It fertilizes every time you water your plant. So that's kind of the deal with houseplants. African violets suffer a little bit right now because of the lack of humidity.
Right.
So if you can, take your great big old saucer, put some gravel in it. We got some saucers at the nursery, and we give you the gravel for nothing. It's out back in the, there's a pile of it. And people say, really? Can I have a, you know, a, like a little
there?
Tiny little pot. Of, yeah, sure.
We're talking about a handful of gravel. It's not like it's that.
Yeah,
much.
It's not like, we got a bunch of it back there. So just bring a big saucer or buy a saucer and put some gravel in it and float your plants on top of that and keep that moisture in that gravel, and they'll do a lot better. Okay. So that's kind of the deal with houseplants right now. Just a sleepy time for them. Don't try to make them grow too much. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't prune them back at this point.
No.
Should do okay. Your citrus plants?
If it's sitting fairly close to the window, rotate it periodically so that the plant continues to go straight up, or does it matter that much?
That's a good idea.
Okay.
Or use that old turntable and let them spin around. But just keep.
If you're doing that, put the turntable down on 16 RPM. So.
When did they stop having 16 RPMs on those? I never had one that had 16.
I ran into a few of them in the mid-60s, but it did not, didn't get very many of them made.
It was slow enough.
It wasn't practical for music, so it was spoken word.
Yeah, that's too slow for any kind of clear. Well, whatever. Yeah. That's another genre.
Yeah. Now we're talking about three times the wavelength and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyway, just kind of take it easy on your houseplant. Don't expect much out of them, except maybe Christmas cactus and cyclamens. They're going to be blooming right now.
Okay.
So that leads us to annual of the week. That was impatiens.
Yes.
And impatiens are a little bit of a water-hungry plant. They just bloom and bloom all the time, like I said earlier. But do your ground prep before planting them. They really don't have a whole lot of pests.
No.
You get a leaf miner to it. Occasionally, you can get some mites. But typically, they don't have... We had a problem a few years ago with a fungus going in and killing them all out. Mm-hmm. It never made it to Oklahoma, like a lot of things. But... But anyway, they never made it here.
But if they were in Missouri and Kansas, of close enough. So
yeah, I guess so. I don't think it got past Nebraska. But anyway, so you want to make sure you do your ground prep properly on these. And the standard impatiens, the British call busy lizzies, they like a shady situation in a very highly organic soil and a fair amount of mulch over them to get them established.
Okay.
But once that happens and give the water to them, you're rewarded with just a constant show of flowers. So impatiens are good plants to have, but they need some shade.
They do need some shade. Mm-hmm. We'll take our final break and continue with Green Country Gardener in just a moment. Still time for your phone call, 800-749-5936, and give us a call. We'll answer your phone.
The most important feature in a window is trust. So go with a name you know, Anderson, the time-proven choice found in more homes than any other. And Anderson is the brand rated by builders as the most weather-tight, highest quality, and most durable. 400 series windows and doors from Anderson, the most trusted name in windows. See Anderson Windows and Doors at Overly Woods Lumber Company on Knowwater Road in Bartlesville.
Check out Four Seasons Ag and Lawn for great deals on Coyote tractors with warranties up to 6 years. Four Seasons Ag and Lawn is Oklahoma's number one Coyote dealership. Get a tractor with a cab for comfort from a 35 horsepower, and it goes on up from there, so the little guy can be comfortable in the summer and winter at Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, awarded the Five Paw Dealer Excellence Award. Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, 3 miles southwest of Ulaga on 169.
Hi, I'm John Selmar. Invite you to come by and see how we take care of our people here at Four Seasons Ag and Lawn in Ulaga, Oklahoma.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
(800) 749-5936, the telephone number to get you on Green Country Gardener. Still a couple of minutes yet to go on the program. More than enough time for you to pick up the phone and call 800-749-5936.
Cool. Yeah. And patience, I had really good luck with it at my house last year.
We had some, I guess we use the sun patients, but still, my wife likes them. We have them every year.
Good plants, and they seem pretty well pest-free, so easy to grow. Perennial of the week is bamboo.
That grows fast.
It does. There are varieties that don't, but they need some shade.
Oh, okay.
But bamboo is one, if you got a large area that's maybe subjected to erosion, or you want a break, a screen, perhaps, in an area where you've got lots of room and you really don't want anything else, you might consider the bamboo.
Okay.
It sits there. You buy this plant. It sits there. And, you know, 2 years, you're about to give up on it. And then the third year, all of a sudden, boom, it's up everywhere. It takes a little while for it to get established.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one to use in troubled spaces.
Okay.
You've got an area that's just really... that you just want something, you know, it might be a consideration. It will get to be kind of invasive, and controlling it is not that hard to do, but it can be done.
Okay.
So getting rid of it is kind of difficult. I had some at my house, and when I redid the fence, I couldn't get to it for the bamboo.
Oh, okay.
So I cut it all down and put triclopyr on the stump, and it soaked down to the root, killed the whole colony, got rid of it. So
okay.
It took it a while, though. It didn't do it all at once.
No, I bet you had to go back and either reapply or cut back the plant while it was dying.
Yeah, cut back, and basically it's gone right now. So successfully got rid of it. And it takes a couple of years. Now, another way to get rid of it, if you do have a problem with it, is to deprive it of its ability to photosynthesize. In other words, just keep it cut down. After 2 years, it'll just die out.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing, not enough there, no energy to support a rather aggressively growing root, and it just starves, it just dies. So,
yeah.
So you just keep it cut down, and it's another way to manage it. They have what they call culms in the spring, these pointed things that come up, and they can be just cut off as the time goes on. But anyway,
that's called a clomb, C-O-L-M-E?
C-U-L-M, comb.
So, okay.
And that's what bamboo shoots are. You can use it on Chinese food and whatever. So anyway, it's kind of
Are they difficult to plant?
No, just throw it in the ground and that's fine. Well, when you plant it, Charlie, make sure you have a good sharp shovel. We'll see you next week.
Sounds great.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall. This is KWON Bartlesville and K227CQ Bartlesville.